interviews. And I think that's where a lot of candidates miss the mark. So if they actually have made it into the interview, that means that you have made it through the first pass on paper. You've made the group think that you are going to be a good fit. But once you're actually in that conversation, people forget it's a two-way conversation. It's about determining mutual fit for a company or a mutual fit for a role. And oftentimes interviewees are so preoccupied with trying to impress the interview panel or the interviewer that they sometimes forget to create that time and space so that there can be reflection, so that there could be a two-way conversation. And sometimes, and I felt this sometimes when I'm interviewing someone, they don't give me a moment to actually ask a question because they're speaking so much and so fast, and or they may have lost their train of thought, but they just kept on talking and didn't give themselves a moment to center themselves and figure out where do they want to go.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I'm so glad to have you with me today here on the show. As always, thank you for your shares and your downloads and for being a subscriber. And thank you to those of you who have left a review over on iTunes. I sure do appreciate it. And for those of you that may have a couple of minutes, I'd be so grateful if you'd jump over to iTunes and take a couple of minutes and leave me an honest review of the show. It really helps in the search rankings. Now, you're in for a real treat today because I've got a really amazing, impressive gal on the show with me today. She's just a friend of mine. Very talented. If you are a parent of a high school student that is getting ready to apply for colleges or scholarships, you don't want to miss this episode. If you are a business person that is going to interview for anything ever, like a new job or a new position, you don't want to miss this episode either. And make sure you stay till the very end because Mary Grace Gardner is with me today, and we're going to be talking about an upcoming live free workshop that we're doing next Saturday, and then the following Saturday, another special workshop. So stay tuned to the end and find out what's going on. If you really want to learn how to make a bigger impact with your message, using your voice in interview situations, and who doesn't want to do that? And that's what our guest is going to talk about today. She is an expert in college admissions counseling and career coach counseling. Her name is Mary Grace Gardner, and she's a college admissions and career coach specialist with over 10 years of experience helping students apply to colleges using what she learned as part of the admissions council for one of the top universities in the United States, combined with what she did to get accepted into schools like UCLA, Yale, and Johns Hopkins. She graduated from both undergraduate and graduate school completely debt-free, thanks to scholarships. After graduate school, Mary Grace landed a competitive fellowship in healthcare administration and quickly rose in the ranks of leadership. She has reviewed thousands of resumes and interviewed applicants for roles ranging from administrative assistant to senior executive. She knows exactly what it takes to stand out from other applicants and land your dream job. And that is so true. She is such an expert, and you are going to glean so many golden nuggets from everything she has to say on the show today. So stay tuned. Let's head on over to the interview. Mary Grace, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
I'm so excited to be here.
Now, you guys are in for such a treat today because I know Mary Grace. I have known her for about a year. I am quite familiar with her work. Of course, I know I'm going to learn more today. Absolutely extraordinary at what she does. She's a college admissions career counselor and a career counselor, and I'm going to let her tell you all about that. But I want to tell you really quickly, make sure you stay to the end of this interview because we've got something super cool to tell you about. So, Mary Grace, tell us a little bit. Let's start by telling my audience here, the audience, a little bit about what it is that you do.
Sure. My name is Mary Grace Gardner, and I am the founder of a company called The Young Professionista. I'm a college admissions and career coach. On the college admissions side, I help high potential students get into their dream school. And on the career side, I help with ambitious professionals get into their dream job.
So two different things. We've got the college getting into the dream school, and then we've got getting the dream job. So let's just kind of divide those out a little bit. Now, listeners, I know a lot of you, but a lot of you I don't. So if you have college students that are, or high school students that are going off to college, you really want to listen to this. And then for those of you who maybe you don't have an interview on deck, but you may at some point, this is the woman you want to listen to. So let's start with college, college admissions. Tell us about how you got into that. What's your story on that?
Sure. So college admissions wasn't something that I had originally intended to pursue in terms of my business, but it was something that I've been helping people with over the years. And so in order to share where I am today, let me share with you my background and how I actually landed here. So in high school, I grew up in a middle-class family where I knew that they didn't have the funds to be able to pay for my college, but I also knew that I was going to qualify for need-based aid to cover all of my expenses. And so what I knew that meant for me was that I was going to have to hustle and do well in school, well academically, as well as get really involved in school, in my extracurriculars. And so I was able to do well in terms of my GPA and my test scores. And I got really involved in school, followed a lot of things I was passionate about, and was very involved in extracurriculars. And so when I applied to school, I also was really focused on applying to scholarships. I applied to dozens and dozens of scholarships, treated it as something I needed to do every day because I knew the seriousness about it. And it paid off because I was able to get admitted into competitive colleges, and I was offered generous scholarships, as well as I earned a lot of these scholarships through the other programs I applied through, and was able to graduate completely debt-free, both for my undergrad and graduate school. And because of that financial freedom, I was able to do a lot more in my 20s than some of my peers were able to do, who are drowning in debt because of college expenses. So once I actually was in college, I majored in math, and I was almost certain I was going to be a math professor because at the time, what I realized was that women in STEM was just very underrepresented, but I wasn't 100% sure if that was the career I wanted because I had so many different passions. So in college, I actually explored many of them. I dabbled in figuring out whether I wanted to be a doctor by volunteering at a pediatrics ward. I wanted to check out to see whether or not I wanted to work in biotechnology by working in a wet lab and doing research. I actually also explored things like world arts and culture, and also looked at different arts and maybe pursuing law. So I tried all sorts of things to see what it was I liked, what I didn't like, what I was passionate about. And ultimately, I learned what I was really interested in was pursuing maternal and child health and looking at healthcare systems. So I applied to graduate school. And when I did, I applied to competitive programs and got accepted. So the types of schools I've been accepted to include places like Yale and Johns Hopkins, UCLA, Berkeley. And ultimately, I went to UC Berkeley. And while I was there, I had a really unique experience where the chair of my program asked me to be part of the admissions team. So what that meant was I was one of the people who looked at applications, made recommendations on who got accepted or denied, who would be awarded scholarships or not. And it was a really unique lens to see what makes people stand out when they apply and what makes people blend in with everyone else. And so while there are other college admissions coaches out there, you'll notice that they either have one view or the other. Either they were that student who got into competitive schools, or they were someone who worked on the admission side of things. And so I have a view where I get to see both ends of the world and see what is it from the student's perspective and what is it from the admission side of things. So as I pursued my corporate role, my corporate career, college admissions was something I was just always asked over the past 10 years, either colleagues or friends, other students, would ask me, how did I get into these competitive programs? How did I graduate debt-free? And these questions were things that I was really happy to help with, but I noticed that people were asking the same questions over and over again. And I realized that people were struggling with the same types of issues, and that this one-on-one type of conversation, these informational interviews I was having, was something that, while I was happy to do, wasn't something that was going to scale where I was going to help people in a bigger fashion. And so I decided to start a business where I would be able to reach more people through online forums, through my Facebook group, through blogs, where I can share advice on what they can do in order to get into their dream school.
Man, I wish I'd met you 32 years ago. Wow. All the schools, top schools, schools of your dreams, debt-free, all scholarships. What a gift you are to these parents. And you know, I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but it's like, you know, the inside track. You see, there sounds like there's a real art to filling out these applications and getting these scholarships and knowing what they're looking for. And you know that.
You know, so much of it is a student understanding what is the unique value that they bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned, for me, a lot of it was self-discovery. I tried all sorts of different things to find out what I was passionate about, what was my why. And so a lot of times when I'm helping students, it's trying to help them figure out, well, what is their why? What is it that they're passionate about? And what mark do they want to make? And how do you communicate that? I think a lot of times people don't realize that if you don't communicate that clearly, the people who are either interviewing you about it or reading about it won't understand the value that you bring. And so much of my focus is helping students with figuring out what that all is.
Yeah. And you help them write all their, do you help them guide them in writing all their applications and essays and all of those things as well?
Sure. So there are a couple of different ways that I help my students. So I do have a college application essay workshop where I work with students in group settings, and it's all virtual. I have students from all across the country who enroll. And this is for students who are in 11th grade. So they are transitioning. So over the summer before coming 12th graders, or their first month or so in 12th grade, where I help them with figuring out over a weekend, we get it all done over a weekend, but we talk through about what is it that they want to communicate in an essay. And I help guide them and coach them about what is the message they want to convey and how do they communicate that in a written fashion. The other way that I work with my students is through group programs and through one-on-one coaching. And that starts as early as 9th grade, where we talk about how to explore what it is you're interested in. How do we make sure that we think through things that bring out your unique value so that you have an experience that you enjoy in high school, as well as something that will stand out when you apply to college?
Which I love so much, because I think that there's far too much cookie cutter kind of stuff. Well, what do we think we're supposed to do? And you really shine the light on the uniqueness of each person.
Yes, I think that's one thing that I notice my students struggle with a lot, or students in general are trying to figure out, well, what is it that admissions teams want to see?
Yeah.
And I always say, don't even think about what it is that the person wants to say or wants you to say or think or do. Think about what it is that you want to communicate. What's your unique value? And oftentimes students feel like, you know, I'm one of millions of people out there. Why am I different? But it's true. Everybody has something about them that makes them unique. It's their own unique thoughts about an experience or their unique view of the world, and being able to demonstrate how you've explored that and being able to communicate that is just so important when trying to get into your dream school.
Well, and so important to life to embrace who you really are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a life thing, not just a college thing that you do, really, right?
And if you can explore that when you're in high school, that is a skill set and a mindset that will be beneficial throughout life.
Throughout life, because it's got to be. I went to college, of course, I have two masters and an undergraduate, but I think I still probably did all of it before you were born. But it's got to be competitive. Is it just crazy? I mean, it was crazy competitive back in 83 when I was doing it, but it's got to be crazy competitive. Yeah,
it is. It is so much harder now, I think, because there's just this increased competition to get, especially into those top schools. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things in terms of my approach, what my goals are is to make this process as stress-free as possible. It's not possible for it to be completely stress-free, but there's things that you can do in order to have more calmness in approaching this situation, because there's such a drive that students feel that they must be perfect. You know, I must have that perfect GPA and that perfect test score. And what I share with them, you know, I tell them, if I'm your coach, I'm going to give you tough love and give you the reality check. But even if you do have that perfect SAT score and that perfect GPA, Harvard might still say no. It doesn't guarantee anything. And so while you do want to do your best, there are other things that are really important as well to be able to demonstrate why you might be a good fit. And that's, I think, why the competition is just so intense. And as I was looking, before I decided to open up my company, while I was looking out to see what else was out there to help students, there are some things that are out there that I just don't agree with. You know, there's things out there that I feel like are not ethical. Like one of the things that I noticed was they do have essay writing services where people will write for your child their application essays, or will write for your child these types of things. And I'm completely against that, because I think having a student's voice and having them be able to figure out their voice is part of the journey, is part of figuring out what it is that they want and how they grow up and how they communicate themselves. And so looking at it, it is competitive. And sometimes I could see why people may be tempted to go different routes in that way. But I think that there's a different way to approach it, where one that's much more holistic and one that gives the student more power to feel like they're in control.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, that ethics thing and integrity, I think, is always a good thing. I'm always for that.
Yes.
So, all right. So I believe you said you can start working with people as early as ninth grade.
Yeah. So some of my students now I work with as early as ninth grade. And when we're starting that early, it's usually focusing on making sure they have the right timeline in place, that they're aware about what it is that they want to do for their extracurriculars, making sure that they're clear about how they're spending their summers. And, you know, the challenge is when I have parents or students who are approaching me at the beginning of 12th grade and you're trying to play catch up and say, okay, you know, I've had parents and families where the student may have had perfect grades and test scores, but they had no extracurriculars, and trying to catch up right before applications are due is really tough. But if you start earlier on, you have plenty of time to explore, well, what types of clubs are you interested in? Do you want to pursue sports? Do you want to start up your own thing? Mm-hmm. It gives you enough time and space to be able to explore.
But for those that are listening that are going, oh yeah, I am that one that we're heading into 12th grade. You do still work with those people, and you
get to. I do.
Probably a lot of them, huh?
I do. So for those who are right now, if they're listening and their child is 11th grade turning into 12th grade, that's typically when I do get a lot of contact from parents saying, okay, this is the push before we go into college. And so oftentimes we work together to figure out, okay, summer plans, how do we make sure we maximize the summer before you apply so that you can have a really meaningful experience that also translates to something amazing you can write about in your essays. And then I also have a group program that runs from July through December of their senior year that takes students from all the things related to choosing what schools would be best for what it is that you're looking for, how to prepare for your interviews, how to prepare for your essay writing, to the actual submission of your application. And we work together in a group program in that way as well. So not too late. It's just if you start earlier, you have more time to be able to
prepare. The earlier, the better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. So, well, that, I think it's wonderful. And I mean, I don't think there were people like you back when, you know, I was going through all of that. I don't know, but I think it's become such a major process and so much more competitive, you know, that people really are wise to hire somebody like you. They really do need somebody like you. It's just like anything else. You hire a business coach, you hire a trainer, it just makes perfect sense. And there's all different kinds of people all over the world that could work with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple of people who I actually work with who are in Australia, who are in China, different countries, Canada, who are interested in coming to the United States for college. And so we work together as well to think through how can they maximize their experience. You know, when it comes to college admissions, there's certainly different routes you can go. If a parent and child and their family have the time to be able to research this information, there's a lot of information out there. There's no shortage of information about college admissions out there and how to prepare. So if a family is willing to put in the time and energy to look through all the information and figure out what's the truth versus what is unhelpful information, that's certainly a route to go. What I help with is making sure that we look at just the things that are important to look at to help save time and energy, effort. The other thing, though, I find in the work that I do, I oftentimes serve as an intermediary between the parent and the child. So I know it's such a stressful time, you know, stressful transition for students because, you know, they're right at that emerging adult age where there's that independence that they're wanting to go after. And, you know, I tell the parents that I work with, although you may be saying something similar to what I may be saying, it is received completely differently because we're the parent and I'm the coach. It's just going to be received completely different. I had a parent who said, I said the same thing to my son you did. But as soon as you said it, he said, oh, you're right. And I felt like I said that three times. And I said, I know, and you're right. And I think 10 years from now, your son will look back and say, Mom, you were right. Thank you for that advice. But right now he just can't hear you. And it's nothing that's wrong with you, nothing necessarily wrong with him. It's just this phase of life. And so oftentimes my role is helping that parent with talking to their child or helping that child with talking to their parent.
Yeah. And do you help them with the scholarships as well?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So oftentimes when it comes to scholarships, it's either helping them find opportunities that are good matches for them, or many scholarships require that you actually write essays or go into an interview. And so I may help that student with figuring out what is it that they want to communicate in that essay or practice the interviewing with them. Because oftentimes, especially for high schoolers, they haven't been in interviews before. It's completely nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. And so being able to spend some time with them about what they need to do to prepare and actually simulate helps them with walking in much more confidently into those opportunities.
Yeah. And I guess that interviewing is probably a great segue into the other thing that you do, which is career counseling. Now talk to us a little bit about what you do with that.
Yes. So on the career side of things, so let me continue on my personal story and then how I fell into the career counseling work as well. So after finishing my graduate program, I got into a competitive fellowship program in leadership administration. And I have since then just moved really quickly in my corporate role. So in my mid-20s, I landed a role as a chief of staff to the CEO of a large company. And then since then, have had the opportunity to get promotions every 2 years into increasing leadership roles. And with that came lots of experiences of also being on the other side in terms of interviewing other people for roles. So I have been on the interview panel, or I was the hiring manager for all sorts of roles, ranging from administrative assistant to consultant to chief operating officer. So I have been able to have seen thousands of resumes sit in on many different interview panels and ask these tough questions to candidates. And so over the years, I've been asked, how did I get into some of these competitive roles myself? And then what is it that I see as an interviewer for other people? And so just like the college admission side of things, people were asking if they could have informational interviews related to career coaching. And so it was folks who were either starting in their careers or mid-level executives. And now I have senior level executives asking me if they can, you know, pick my brain and learn more about how they can be positioning themselves to get the next role or to increase their leadership skills or to figure out how can they develop certain skills in the role that they currently have to position them well for the future. And just like with the college admission side, I've noticed that people were having the same types of questions and asking for the same kinds of advice. And so I decided then too, similarly to my college admissions work, to also turn this into something where I can help more people, because I do also agree that so much of the career track is figuring out, well, what is it that your unique value is and how do you communicate that as well? And being able to figure out what is it that you want to grow within yourself and how do you express that? And so on the career coaching side of things, I help folks with landing their dream jobs or with growing in their current work so that they can have increased satisfaction with the kind of skills and the work that they do.
I love that. Again, total inside track, just such an art, and you know the art of what it takes. But I love what you just said, because what I heard in that and how much it lines up with find your authentic voice.
Yes.
Finding your authentic voice is what you help people do. And even in my work, that's what I see people shut down. Well, I'm not going to really reveal who I am because they might think that's wild or I'm dramatic or I'm over the top. And so just helping people get back and shine as who they really are to get those jobs, I think is so much of what you do. But what are some of the specific things that you actually help people do as they prepare for those interviews? And you don't have to, I know you do a lot, but what are a couple of things that you do to help people prepare?
So starting from when they're first applying, let's start that. So when people are first applying, I help them with figuring out how to polish their resume so that it aligns with the unique opportunity. And then also trying to figure out how can you find ways in which to pursue a role so that you're not just a cold applicant. So a cold applicant is someone who sees a job board and they just submit electronically their resume and then hope for the best. Mm. What I do with my clients is help them figure out how do you find somebody who may be connected to that role? Who in your network can you connect with in a meaningful way, not in a way that is using people, but in a meaningful way so that you can get a warm introduction to that particular role. So that the person who may be the hiring manager is not looking at just this random person, but someone who may be endorsed by a colleague. Once someone actually gets the interview scheduled, what I do with my clients is practice. Like there's so much I think that people take for granted where they think they can walk straight into an interview and shine. And being the person who has interviewed so many people, I can clearly tell whether or not people did their preparation work or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You could tell within
moments. Instantly,
whether or not someone has done their homework. And so what I do with my clients is first off, we talk through what is it that's the core message that you want to convey in that interview? What is it that you want that interview panel to walk away with and know about you? Because once you have that nailed down, everything else that you do to practice and communicate will be centered around that core message. The next thing I do with my clients is also make sure that we talk about what are some of your responses to some of the frequently asked questions. And so there are questions that we all know get asked during interviews. Tell me about yourself. What's your strength? What's your weakness? But questions like that where we feel like we may know them, but if you don't start thinking about what is it that you want to actually say, it's so much harder to just communicate it on the spot. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that I actually have my clients do is practice and actually simulate the experience with them. So many people are in their heads and think,
my audience, sorry, I have to pause right there. My audience is like, oh gosh, no wonder she brought her on this show. About that up in the head thing again. Okay, keep going.
It's so true. It's because people think, I know my life. I know the experiences that I've had. I can say this at the drop of a hat and it'll come out just flawlessly. And that's very rarely the case. If you haven't at least practiced how you want to say it, received some constructive feedback about how it was received by the person who was hearing it, you oftentimes are flying blind. You don't even know whether or not what you said hit the mark, whether or not what you said resonated with somebody, whether or not it confused that person. And so simulating with my clients is something that's really important for them to walk into that interview feeling much more confident.
I promise you guys, I did not tell her to say all of that before we got, I've never even heard her talk about this, but it is so lined up. That is it. It's, you're so connected up into your head that you forget that what you perceive you're doing is not what we're receiving. And I talk about that ad nauseum in voice, but here you go talking about that is one of the biggest problems in interviewing. I love what you said about the core message and centering everything around who you are and what you, you know, it kind of lines up with that it really does line up with what you do with the college students. Who are you? What is your unique thing that you bring to the table? And I love that you kind of run them through mock scenarios. I think I've heard you mention, we've talked about body language. You help people with their body language in these interviews as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. So much of what you communicate is, yes, the words that you say, but also how you say it. What is your facial expression as you're saying it? What are your hand gestures? A lot of times people aren't aware of it. You know, I'm reflecting back on some of the interviews that I've had with folks where there was someone who was speaking too much with their hands and they didn't realize it. It was just so distracting for folks, where when that person walked out, one of my colleagues said, I was afraid they were going to knock over the coffee because they kept moving their hands so violently. And that candidate probably was nervous, I'm guessing. And I don't know if that's how they talk normally, but it was a distraction for the interviewer. And as a panel, what you want to make sure of is that they don't get distracted by any of that. You want them to hear you. You want them to process what it is that you're saying and communicating. And you want as much as possible to minimize all of those distractions that can get in the way of the message that you're trying to convey.
Let me ask you a question, because that was really good. Of course, I am all about that, but it made me think of something. When I coach people on their voices, one of the things that I talk to people about, they're up in their head and they're not sounding conversational and they're focused on the words. And I say, what do you want? I'm your audience. What do you want me to feel? And it made me think about this when you were just saying this. Is it almost like people that are interviewing get really bogged down in what do they want me to deliver? What do they want me to deliver versus, you know, so it's almost like this game of let me try to give them what they want, even though I don't know what they want, rather than let me reveal who I am and build a relationship almost. Does that make sense? Does that question make sense?
It totally makes sense. And I think that's where a lot of candidates miss the mark. So if they actually have made it into the interview, that means that you have made it through the first pass on paper. You've made the group think that you are going to be a good fit. But once you're actually in that conversation, people forget it's a two-way conversation. It's about determining mutual fit for a company or a mutual fit for a role. And oftentimes interviewees are so preoccupied with trying to impress the interview panel or the interviewer that they sometimes forget to create that time and space so that there can be reflection, so that there could be a two-way conversation. And sometimes, and I felt this sometimes when I'm interviewing someone, they don't give me a moment to actually ask a question because they're speaking so much and so fast, and or they may have lost their train of thought, but they just kept on talking and didn't give themselves a moment to center themselves and figure out where do they want to go. And those are all distractions, right? It takes away from the core message that that person is probably trying to convey. You know, I recently interviewed a candidate who she was brilliant. She had great credentials, had wonderful experience, and she had a major issue with talking so fast and trying to deliver so much content in every breath that she said. While, you know, it was pretty in terms of technicality, it was done pretty well in terms of no ums, uhs, likes, or you knows, no word weeds or anything. But because she spoke so quickly, I was able to keep up with what she was saying, but some of my colleagues were really distracted by that pace and couldn't process whether or not she was communicating the way in which that would resonate for the company. Mm-hmm. And so I recall, and this is again behind the scenes, I recall after that candidate walked out, there was two observations made by my fellow panelists. One was he said he started counting how many times she took a breath, because he wasn't sure whether or not she was actually pausing. So he found himself distracted and seeing, is she actually breathing in between each of her responses? And another panelist had mentioned, he noticed that she opened a bottle of water and was waiting for her to take a sip of it so she could just pause. But she opened the bottle of water and never drank it. And so that was also a distraction for him, that he was waiting for her to pause so that he can actually ask a question back. And so I think that those times are when candidates get so nervous, so in their head about what it is they want to communicate, that they forget that it's a two-way conversation, and being able to flex that conversation, take that person along with you in this journey and this conversation together is what an interview really is. It's not just line listing all sorts of things about you. Otherwise, you could have just submitted a video resume and could have accomplished the same thing.
See, I knew our work lined up, but boy, I had no idea. I'm so excited. You know, what I heard in that, and my people know my language. Tell me, people, if this did not sound like the words are everything and they are nothing, it's how you bring them to life that makes the difference. And stop talking at me, talk to me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So powerful.
Yeah. So powerful. What do you think if there was one thing, and this may be putting you on the spot, and there may not be one thing, but if there was one fatal flaw, have you seen one fatal flaw across the board that keeps people from landing that job in the interview process? Is there one?
One fatal flaw.
One mistake. Yeah, just anything but that.
If I were to choose one fatal flaw, there's so many, but if I were to choose one, I would say it would be lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. So lack of awareness during the actual interview itself about whether or not your messages are resonating, whether or not you're responding to the question being asked, lack of awareness about any signs that the person interviewing you may be giving you. So I tend to be a kind interviewer, and I'm tough, but I also try to be kind. When I see someone flopping in the middle of the interview, I may throw them a lifesaver and I might ask the question again, or I might ask the question in a different way. And if you ever in that situation, that means that you did not answer the question correctly the first time and someone is giving you a chance to answer it again. And I do that because I feel for those candidates. I know they're nervous. And sometimes they don't take that lifesaver. They don't realize that that's what's happening in this moment, is someone is giving me a second shot to be able to give a better response. And so that lack of awareness about, did you just do something that ticked someone off? Or did you say something that made someone recoil because of how you explained what you did? If you're not aware of it, you're actually not able to recover, or you're not able to clarify. So I would say lack of awareness is probably one across the board that puts interviewers off.
Yeah, that's good. Because I would guess, and I was thinking as you were saying that, it reminded me a whole lot of my work with actors. When a director says, okay, good, but why don't you try it like this? That's actually a great thing, because yeah, you've given them enough, but they want to kind of direct you into a certain way to make it better for you. And I always tell actors, I don't work with that many anymore, but I always tell them the casting director really does want you to do well and wants to know who you are. Would you say that's the same thing for the interviewer?
For the interviewer, they want to find the right candidate. They want this to be the one where they're going to just impress you and you're going to have to be done with the process because you found the person, right? No interviewer wants to go through dozens and dozens of candidates to find the one. You know, they want to be able to find someone quickly. And so usually they're rooting for you. You are spending 30 minutes to an hour of their time. They too want it to be worthwhile. They too want to figure out whether or not you're a good fit. And so if they are giving you those opportunities to redo something or to be able to give you some constructive feedback, take it. I think that's the other thing about awareness, is being open to whatever feedback that you may be receiving, and you're not taking it as a personal hit, not getting defensive about it, but just incorporating it and then figuring out what to do next. You know, I do a little bit of commercial modeling, and every time they ask me to do another take, I can't take it personal, right? It's because of what they see, that maybe I'm not communicating it in the way that I think it's coming off, right? And so just like with any other thing where it comes to communication, the way that you think you're communicating it may not be received in that way. And so that's why feedback is just so, so important and so vital, because we really don't know how it is that we're being received by others unless we hear from them.
Yeah. Perception, reception. I talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important for people to seek you out. I remember, and again, I was really showing my age in this episode, but gosh, when I was 24, you know, you showed up at somebody's door, you said, hey, y'all looking for a job? Y'all looking for anybody? Yeah, we are. Well, let's go to lunch. Let's talk. And boom, you're working. And you could quit that job later today and get another one tomorrow. And it's not that way anymore. So when for those people that make it finally to the interview, you know, again, so much pressure, and I don't want to put the pressure on, but it's just like everything else. If you You are an expert, Mary Grace. You know techniques that you can teach people that they probably wouldn't have known otherwise, right?
You know, I think you're right. For any position nowadays, we're getting thousands of applicants for something that probably wasn't that popular before, right? There's just the competitive environment to get into certain jobs is just so much higher now. And in general, we have candidates who have great credentials. They have great education. And so it's just more competitive. And so knowing that it's not just, okay, your background and skills that's going to get you to the next level, there's other things that come into it, like building an authentic network and knowing how to communicate effectively so that it's not just the written paper that is communicating who you are or your LinkedIn profile who's communicating who you are. Even for instance, if you do get hit up by a recruiter on LinkedIn, all of us who've received one of those calls, the next step is they want to talk to you. They want to know, okay, your resume looks good on LinkedIn, but how do you communicate your skills? They'll ask you questions that are answered by your LinkedIn profile. It's because people want to understand how do you communicate and how do you represent yourself in conversation.
And soft skills are huge, aren't they?
They are. They are. I think that oftentimes people underestimate that the soft skills can sometimes override the hard skills. And I had, I remember a candidate who very seasoned, had incredible, incredible background, and based upon his resume was clearly the person who we should hire. And when it came time to the actual interview, a lot of mistakes were made. The first one was he handed me his resume. I'd already seen it, but it's always nice when the candidate hands you the resume. And I had asked him a simple question, and he said, oh, can I have that resume back? I just need to take a look at something. And he said, oh, it's been so long since I've looked at my resume, but now I remember. And he started talking, and I realized he walked in so confident about his experiences and being able to recall them that he didn't think to practice or even to look at his resume beforehand. There's so much that's unspoken that I interpret because of something that happened within a matter of 5 seconds. So much of that, how you present yourself, is beyond just the technical skills that you provide, but it's also the way in which you communicate, the way in which you demonstrate cultural fit for the organization. And it's all those other things that matter a lot too regarding whether or not you get selected.
I knew it. I told you soft skills was important. And now I've got the professional telling me yes, agreeing with me. And that I'll say one more thing and then we'll wrap this up. But I figure culture has a lot to do with it. Are you going to fit into the company culture? Well, first of all, they've got to know who you are. They've got to be able to hear more than just all the words you're spitting out to see if you're going to fit in that culture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important. And that's why so much of being successful in an interview is actually the preparation for that interview. So knowing more about that company, even if it's just a Google search so that you can read about what is that corporate culture or company culture, who might work there that you know, and asking them what is it that might not be communicated on their website about their culture. I had interviewed a candidate for a role who was amazing, and we actually offered him the job. And he did something that completely blew it. He had talked about what his previous salary was. So this was before the laws changed and you were no longer allowed to ask candidates about, you're no longer allowed to ask candidates about their past salary history. But he had listed down his salary history and before he interviewed. And then after we interviewed, we offered him the role and we had asked him a question about his salary and he lied. He actually bumped it up. He said it was higher than what he actually had written down. And, you know, a colleague of mine pointed it out and said, what do you think? And I said, well, that's not acting in integrity. And integrity is one of the big things in our corporate culture here. And if this person is willing to lie about something so small as that, even if it's just a couple digits different, what else will they lie about in the future if we were to hire them? So I can't accept a candidate like that because that's against our corporate culture. And so knowing those types of things, integrity is a big one, I'm sure, for most companies, but knowing what types of things are important for that company can make or break your opportunities.
Yeah. Good stuff. Boy, you are just so good at what you do. Such an expert. Now, I know you've got the two things, but let's talk about where the college parents that are listening that have kids that are heading off to college, where do we start finding you? Where's the best place to, how do you work with people? Well, tell us where to go, where to look.
Sure. So if those for both college admissions and career consulting, they can check out my website, theyoungprofessionista.com. I'm also on Facebook. I have a Facebook page called The Young Professionista. And if you go onto my website, for those who are looking into preparing for college, I have a free offer there called a college prep checklist. And so if you enter your email, I will send you all the things that you need to do from 9th through 12th grade to make sure that you are on track to getting into a great college.
Ah, good stuff. And I want you to check out that Facebook page, because I told you there would be something really cool that I would announce at the end of the episode here. Mary Grace and I are actually collaborating. We're going to go live on that Facebook page next week, right?
Yes, we are. So next week on the 14th at 2 p.m., we are going to do a Facebook Live collaboration. So we're doing a crossover where Tracy is going to be interviewed by me, where I am going to ask her all sorts of questions related to voice and how do you show up confidently in some of these settings where you will need to talk through your experiences. So things like an interview for the college admission side of things, when you have to interview for a opportunity such as the scholarship application process or for a application process for a school, those interviews make a difference. And so for my students, I know oftentimes you haven't gone through an interview experience and don't realize how important it is to be able to control what it is your voice conveys about you. And so I'll have an opportunity I'm so excited about to bring Tracy onto my Facebook page to be able to interview her live. So if you're watching it live, the really neat thing is you can actually submit questions, join us live, and I'll be able to ask them of her during the interview.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. And I believe I can put a link to that in the show notes. I'll put all the website links and all of that. I'll put the Facebook link in the show notes. So we've got that. And can't you see how lined up this is? You hear me rattle about this stuff all the time, but I love it when I bring somebody else on and they say the same thing. I love that. So it's totally lined up. What are your words? What are your thoughts? What are your actions and your body language? And how are you delivering them with your most powerful tool, your voice? So we've got that. And then if you are really keen to step out in confidence and make a bigger impact and get to the next level, whether it is in your personal life, whether it is in going off to college and getting the college of your dreams, getting a scholarship, or maybe even just getting a new job. You're getting a new job. Maybe you want to go up to a higher level in the job that you're in. We're doing a live online workshop. Now, does it get any better than that? Both of us together, live online. It's a half a day, 3-hour workshop. We're doing that. When are we doing that? The 21st?
21st of April. We're going to have it at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it will be a live workshop where you get to work with the both of us, where I'll be going over techniques on the technical side related to the interview process and how to prepare and walk in confidently. And you'll have critique by both Tracy and me about what it is you can do to strengthen your presence when you're in those interviews and show up even more confident and be ready for that conversation.
Yeah, super cool. So there'll be some teaching, but there's also going to be some hot seat where you literally get to get in there and Mary Grace is going to go to interviewing you. And then we're going to talk about ways that you can make more of an impact. So it's a really great opportunity to get to learn a lot, but also get to have some direct coaching. I did something similar to this. I don't know if you remember about a year or so ago, I did a workshop like this with Andra Bolin on sales training. And it was amazing. People loved it. People, they learned a lot and they got direct coaching. She coached them on sales. I coached them on voice. This is the same thing. And I'm telling you, you're going to have another interview at some point in your life. You are. So I hope that you can join us because it's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited about it. And I'll put the link to that landing page in the show notes as well. Or you can definitely, if you don't want to seek out all these landing pages, you just go over to captivatetheroom.com, work with me, and you'll be able to have access to all of that information. But we will have Mary Grace's website and the Facebook page link. But Young Professionista, is that the Facebook page as well?
That is the Facebook page. That's yeah. Right.
Easy enough to remember. Well, I'm really excited about all the programs that are coming up, and I'm so excited about the work that you're doing. I just think it's I think you're the best. And I just really encourage all of my listeners to seek you out. But thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you so much for all of your valuable time.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners. You know how much I value you. Thank you for your shares and for you being on this voice journey with me. But that's it for today. So until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab The Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.